time for the Roller Out the Barrel podcast with your host, Matthew Barrel Roller Bernard.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Roller Out the Barrel podcast, the vintage baseball podcast that gets to know people on a more personal level. That way, when you meet them someday, you have a lot of things to talk about. Today, on this episode, I have Mike Marbles-Feeney running the board for me. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Mike, come up with a new line, would you? You use that all the time. And our guests in the, it's not the studio, it's the Supernatural Brewing Company in Livonia, Michigan. But it's Mr. and Mrs. George and Nikki Bollinger.
Hello, neighbors.
Nikki's dealing with a vocal cord thing. They didn't actually tell me what it is, but it's a vocal cord thing. So if you can't hear her, there's nothing we can do about it. She's just going to have to give it her best. And
we'll blame Mike anyway.
Yeah. She's currently drinking some beer, so I'm sure that's going to help. I'm currently drinking the Christmas ale. They had some Christmas ale left over, so I like Christmas beers. Yeah. So this episode... it's a little different than the other episodes I've done, but up until this point, I actually have archives. So I think up to this point, I've released 5 episodes. This episode right here is going to be released on Valentine's Day. So you're hearing this on Valentine's Day.
Tell someone you love them today because life is short. But shout it at them in German because life is also terrifying and confusing.
You probably didn't get somebody something like you should have, so you should probably stop listening to this. Run out to the store, get your little teddy bear and some candies and all the stupid stuff they have at the store for you. Get that taken care of, and then come back, listen to more of this episode. Because George and Nikki have a unique relationship, as they're both vintage baseball players, and they're married.
Aww.
So we're going to get into... that, and we're going to have ladies first. Nikki, tell us how you got into vintage baseball.
Actually, it was George who got me started in it. I was, I've always loved baseball, but I've always been very reserved and had anxiety, so I never pursued anything on my own. And when he found out that I liked baseball, he said, "I know the perfect team, you know." Yeah. And I lived by right next to Chelsea, so he hooked me up with the Chelsea Marys. And
how long have the Chelsea Marys been going?
That's a great question.
Guess. I just want you to guess.
8 to 10 years.
8 to 10 years. So over that time, if I'm not mistaken,
probably 7.
Seven, she says. There's not a lot of ladies teams to deal with. You got the Ohio Village Lady Diamonds. And who else have you encountered?
The Little Phillies. And who else was there?
The River Bells for a minute, wasn't there?
The River Bells. And there's one other one.
I know that there's a women's team that is more of a World War II, like a commemorative team, and all they do is travel. I believe they're in Indiana, but it's a women's team.
Wasn't Carol part of that, or is she?
I think Joel was.
Yeah. There's a lady that played for the River Bells, nicknamed Jewel, Carol Sheldon or Sheldon. And I think she's involved in that club, or at least in that era as well.
So with the lack of women's teams, what does a season look like for you girls?
We have about 3 games.
And 2 against the Lady Diamonds and 1 against...
the Little Phillies, the Benton Harbor. Phillies.
The Benton Harbor Little Phillies. I tried to get them to come to the festival.
No.
No answer. Sorry, girls. And this year at the festival, you're facing a brand new team yet to be named.
I am so excited for that.
It is it's a group. It appears that the women in Frankenmuth are a lot more in love with vintage baseball than the men.
Really?
Turns out. That's turns out fantastic. I didn't have a problem putting together a women's team and still can't put together a men's team. So,
well, you're more than welcome to invite me to play.
I was going to put, because I know we're going to get to your current situation, and I was going to put my schedule on a piece of paper and just kind of slide it over to you when I came up, but I forgot to do it. But we'll definitely be talking about that off air and on air, whatever. So Nikki, do you fill in any men's matches during the year to kind of get your fix more than the three matches?
I have in the past. My first game actually was on a men's team. And we practice with the monitors, which is also with the men. And every practice with them is a scrimmage. So I get my fix every practice, which is really nice.
And are all the women's matches scheduled the same day as a monitor's match? Is it always like a woman and a men situation?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. And is this the only club you've played on, is the Marys?
Nope, I've played with the Detroit River Bells as well.
Okay. And how long were they around?
To be honest, I don't know. They, I think it was 2016, had their last season. Difficulty getting people. The women's teams are hard to put together.
Yeah. Everywhere except Frankenmuth.
Apparently, yes.
The hardest place to put men together. Am I talking about this too much?
A little bit.
Do you sense my weakness? Okay, George.
Here we go.
George is currently filling out some questions. You cannot look at those because later on we're going to play a little vintage baseball newlywed game.
Oh, jeez.
But, George, why don't we go ahead and talk about how you got started in vintage baseball up into where you are today?
Well, it was somewhere around 2013, 2014. I went to, of course, Greenfield Village, as everybody does in Southeast Michigan. And I was with my sister, my mom, and my two nieces. And one of my nieces, Devin. Hi, Devin. She's a big player. I'm gonna get belted for that, aren't I?
I believe you're going to hear a buzzer when this episode comes on.
Okay. She plays a modern day version of baseball. Back then she was just starting to get interested in it, and we happened upon the La-Di-Da's playing a vintage baseball game. I don't remember who they're playing that day. And I asked her, I said, well, hey, what do you think if I started playing ball like that? She said she'd love it. She thought it'd be funny. Or not funny, but fun. She'd enjoy it. So
turns out it was funny.
Well, when I play it is. When Feeney doesn't, it's a different level of fun.
Oh, he's got his moments.
That's true.
So I had that in my mind, and I called Greenfield Village and asked them how to go about getting on the team, and they told me that at that time, you know, they had a waiting list like 30 or 40 deep, and they'll put my name on the list and give me a call. So I wasn't really encouraged. Well, then the next summer we went back to Greenfield Village, and the La-Di-Da's happened to be playing the Royal Oak Wahoos that day. And again, I asked my niece, hey, should I give this a shot? And she's like, yeah, do it. So I walked over to the captain. You look like you're getting ready to say something.
I just wanted to know, what year was this?
That would have been 2014. That was the beginning of the 2014 summer. So we went and saw the game, and she said, you know, go ahead and give it a shot. So I walked over to the La-Di-Da's captain again and asked him, hey, you know, how do I get to play? He says, well, we don't have any room on the squad right now. Why don't you go talk to the Wahoos captain? Maybe they can use your help. So I walked over to Terry, goes by Toy. They call him Teufelhunden, but German pronunciation is Teufel, devil dog. Anyway, so I went and talked to Terry, and he said, yeah, give me your email address and phone number, and if we can use you as a sub this year, we'll give you a call. And I wasn't, again, too hopeful, but hey, what the hell. Maybe sometime 2 or 3 months later, like June, I think it was, they sent me an email asking if I wanted to go play against the Chelsea Monitors at Timbertown. And there it was. That was the beginning of my career.
So you start off with the Wahoos.
Yep.
And so this is 2014. Mm-hmm. How many seasons with the Wahoos?
I did two seasons with the Wahoos. I was a sub that first season, and then the next season I was a full-fledged Wahoo.
And then you caught on with another vintage team who was?
God, what was that god-awful team I played for?
Horrible.
They had a captain that was real full of himself. Is still full of himself.
Talk about the early risers?
No. Not yet. No. There was a team in between. Actually, I found out from a good friend of ours who actually married us, Michael Copato, named Preacher. He said that there was a team that was beginning in Canton, and I was kind of tired of traveling to home games in Royal Oak when we lived in Ann Arbor at the time, West Ann Arbor. So I was like, cool, Canton would be a lot closer for us. It's a lot closer to where my family lives. This would be fun. So I emailed Feeney, who happens to be the captain of the Canton Corn Shuckers.
So that's like a vintage baseball trivia question is... I knew that you played with the Wahoos. Mm-hmm. I knew that you played with the Early Risers, and I had no idea that you played with Canton, and that's 2016.
Whatever the first year was, that's like finding out
that Chet Lemon was a White Sox before he was on the Tigers. Like, yeah. So I would assume, by the way this conversation's going, that you were on Canton for one season until Mike fired.
Yes.
You,
I believe they traded me for a sack of baseballs.
I believe what they were going for was the average age of 20.
Yeah, they wanted. Yeah, definitely. I was considering that Nikki and I would have to change our nicknames to Maw and Paw Kettle, because their average age was about 21 or 22, but with me on the team, it was more like 32. So,
and. Right, and with Nikki around, that's the closest that most of them had been to a woman to that point. Am I right?
I definitely protected her. I shielded her from any of the shenanigans. The ogling.
We kid Mike all the time. Now they're starting to get girlfriends and wives, and now it's going to start
falling
apart.
Congratulations, Mike. I saw that.
You know, they can't play 50 games a season.
younger players.
Pretty soon they're going to be trolling the elementary schools for players.
No, George, you weren't here for this story, so I'm going to go through it quick. But the interview before you guys was Andrew Tidwell. Bone Shaker, Rudy Frias got me there. Last year was his first season on Canton, and this is how Andrew became a member of the Canton Corn Shuckers. He was riding through the park one day on his bike. That's the end of the story. He played 6 years of college baseball.
Oh.
He has enormous hands, and he's a juggler. And and they did not recruit him. They fall into this.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sickens me.
Yes, well,
so
rather be lucky than good, right?
So 2016 Canton Corn Shuckers, so then you move 2017 to the Early Risers?
Yeah.
So that's 2017 and 2018 and 2019.
Does that sound about right? Yeah.
You played last year with the Early Risers, right?
Yeah, last year was with the Early Risers.
Three years, though?
I thought it was only two, but maybe my math escapes me.
And while you're trying to play apparently one or two seasons, what the hell is wrong with you, George? You're sticking around for a season or two. It's got to be a you problem. You're like the Antonio Brown vintage baseball?
No, I don't know what it is. It's just I like to, with going from the Wahoos to the Corn Shuckers, I really wanted that experience of being part of the beginning of a club. I wanted to say I was there at the beginning when it all started, and you know, I was hoping that it would last through. But what happened was, at that time, Nikki had joined the Riverbells, who is the sister club of the Risers, and I was helping. I was umpiring their first match against the Risers on May 15th of that year. I remember because it was a snowstorm.
Yikes.
At the fort, there was a snowstorm. and it was cold as heck. And but anyway, so I was umpiring, and I can't remember if it was Pokey or RJ, but one of those gentlemen came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, would you like to be a riser?" And I said, "Well, I'm already committed with the Shuckers at this point. I'll sub for you, but maybe next year I can, you know, if you're still interested." Well, they were still interested, and they kept asking me, and so I said, "Yeah, sure, why not? I'll switch," and that way her and I could be on sister brother teams, and it would be a lot easier, I guess.
So, and fun.
Did that
yeah.
only
and
last?
It's fun playing with
did that people. Only last a season? Did the Riverbells shortly, or did it go two seasons? Where you were both
it went no
early
seasons.
Riser, it went no seasons.
Well, she did get to play. There was one season with the Riverbells, but that was when I was still with the Shuckers.
So you were actually never on the early risers when she was a Riverbell.
Unfortunately,
it never
no.
worked out. But that was the plan.
That was the plan. Yeah.
That was the hope.
So you'll be playing with. Any, Chelsea at this point.
I certainly would not. Actually, I'm to be in all fairness and honesty, I did ask Honest John if there was a spot, and he said, "Right now they've got a full roster, but I'll be a sub with them as well."
One of the
so,
very few. How many teams in Vintage Baseball do you think can say, "Oh, we got a full roster. We don't need it." It just doesn't happen.
I think there's a few.
There are a few.
I say a handful.
Yeah.
Even in Michigan.
Yeah.
Let's name them. Chelsea.
La-di-da's.
Flat Rock.
Obviously the other La-di-da's, the Nationals.
What about Walker?
I still think they'd accept the right player, but he'd have to be a good fit for them.
So they got room.
So not me. Yes. Too slow, too
yes,
old.
Correct.
Got it.
they had a couple new guys last year.
The more north you go in Michigan, the less full the roster.
I'd say yeah. Canton's pretty full too, right now.
depending on who drives through the park.
Yeah, right.
So you're kind of barnstorming 2020.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. Yeah.
So as we talked, you're obviously more than welcome to play any match with a Frankenmuth shield on your body.
I would absolutely appreciate
it. We have
that.
A limited schedule. I didn't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
So let me give you a little insight into the Frankenmuth schedule, which this is breaking news because it hasn't been released to even people on the team.
Wow.
You have people on your team?
I got some guys. When they all show up, we're a good team. So we've got a match against Flint first weekend of May.
Okay.
We do have a match. I don't have dates off the top of my head. We do have an away against Fallsburg. I believe that's a tournament that's going on that weekend. I don't remember the dates. I'll get the dates to you. And then I have a home match against the regulars of Mount Clemens that we're going to open it up to the real rules, I guess, as they would put it.
Yeah.
You know, open stealing
yeah.
and do it like that. We wanted another team or two to come in so we could have like a little bit of a tournament. But you imagine it's very hard to get teams to come to Frankenmuth when they're coming to Frankenmuth for the festival.
Right.
So that three games right there constitutes our schedule, except for the Northern Alliance of Vintage Ballists League Association. I always say league, and league makes people frown.
Yeah.
But so at the festival, we're playing the Oaks of Locust Corner, which used to be the Moscow Monarchs.
Okay.
We're playing Flat Rock, and we're playing the Columbus Capitals because those are in our division. And to be in the association, you have to play everybody in your division once to qualify for postseason. So we're just doing the minimum of playing everybody once.
And it's a good measuring stick against those clubs because those are, at least the two that I know of, are very good
clubs.
Well,
it's a terrible measuring stick.
Wow.
It's a good measuring stick for them.
It's a good measuring stick to see how terrible you are.
So once we finish those three matches, and those are one of those is on Saturday, two of those are on Sunday of the festival, and that qualifies us for the postseason tournament, which is in October down in Columbus.
Okay.
Where we'll get smoked in the first round.
well, you never know.
But that's why you play the games.
Maybe they'll have a horse and buggy accident on the way and only bring four guys, and then you've got
a
chance.
I know where they live, too. and also, we're in the Uncle Sam tournament at the festival. Mm. So the possibility, obviously, when you think of Uncle Sam, you think of the possibility of being appearing on ESPN3. Most teams think that. We are just the hosts, and I believe we are. Oh, breaking news. Mike, who's Frankenmuth playing?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm going to guess the Shuckers.
No. We're playing Tennessee. Tennessee. East Nashville, Tennessee.
Phoenix Baseball Club. Right?
Yeah, but by the time this airs, everybody will know that. That's no longer breaking news. In fact, everybody will know my schedule by the time this comes out, too. None of this is breaking news now I think about it. How ridiculous. So, Nikki, do you go to all of George's games?
As many as I can, yes.
So, right now, he's filling out a bunch of questions, and they're all about him. And I'll tell you why. It's only because he has a lot more material to work with, as you only have 3 matches a year and play the same people constantly. So there isn't much I can do about that. So we're going to get into some of your favorite things that don't affect that questionnaire right there. What would be one of your favorite on-field memories while playing vintage baseball?
My own?
Yes.
Probably my first game, only because it was my first injury, and that's kind of part of the game,
yeah,
you know?
It is.
I was playing second, and somebody hit it out to center, and that was with the men's team, it was the Shamrocks I was playing on, and they just threw it in as hard as they could, and there goes my thumb, because I jammed both thumbs that year, so.
So sometimes, you do run across those vintage players that don't, they just are going to come up and they're just going to throw it as hard as they can.
Sloop.
They will do that in pregame warm-ups.
Scalawag. Scalawag.
And I hate all of you that do that. But I guess in a game, in a match, you can understand you kind of have this one mentality. But pregame, not cool. Nikki, you guys on the Mariners, you wear those skirts that are knee high. Is that how you call that? Knee low?
Yeah.
It's more like knee low, isn't it?
Below the knee.
It's just below the knee, though, right?
Most of them are, yeah.
Is that because it's right there at the knee? Do you have a hard time with those skirts?
No.
Really?
No.
And I always look at those skirts and I'm like, that's a terrible place for that to be.
I've played in a skirt. It's a lot more freeing, a lot more comfortable.
Your skirt is a lot shorter. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
I've played in a full dress as well that hoops fit under, and it was not impeding like I thought it would be.
Oh, like the Lady Diners.
Yes.
That full kind of... the Frankenmuth girls will be wearing dirndls.
Ooh.
But I believe they'll be wearing... I think it's like an apron. It almost looks Lady Diamond-esque. Just German. I'm sure you guys have all seen what a dirndl looks like. Were either of you at the captain's match last year?
Unfortunately, no.
We had one of the helpers from River Place, the main helper, Jessica Haynes. Or is it Hayes? That's embarrassing. She was out there in her dirndl. And I don't know. It doesn't look right on a baseball field, but that's what we're going with. Any other injuries besides that first one on the thumb?
I did both thumbs that year. The other one was stopping at first, and my feet stopped, but my body did not.
Yeah, it's happened.
Thus her nickname, Tumbles.
I fall a lot. I'm a very aggressive player.
So that's one of those instances where your baseball moniker is just common sense. It's just Tumbles.
Yeah.
George Puddin, how does that come about? That's not a traditional story.
It basically is Georgie Porgy Puddin and Pie. But nobody has ever really called me that except for a couple of my really good friends outside of the baseball world.
And the 7 people that listen to this.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, now,
so, it's more than 7. Yeah, just a couple of buddies. And I had heard that, starting with the Wahoos, they enforce the rule that if you don't show up with your own nickname, they're going to give you one. And I didn't want anyone giving me one, so I had to come up with something.
Oh, okay. Puddin.
Yep.
Puddin. So what we're going to do right now, as the last of our vintage talk, is we're going to play a little Valentine's Day Vintage Baseball Newlywed game. So George has answered all of these questions, so we're going to see how well Nikki does on these questions. They're all vintage baseball related.
Why did it have to go this way? Why couldn't it have been reversed?
Who wins the money if...
You guys being here today makes you both already winners.
Oh, and, wow. wow, way to butter up the guests.
Here we go, Nikki. First question he answered was, what is George's favorite field to play baseball on?
Sea otters hold each other's paws as they fall asleep so they don't drift apart.
Can I give her hints?
No, absolutely not. You guys live together. You've given her hints for years.
Favorite field. Greenfield Village? No.
That answer is incorrect. The correct answer is George.
The home field for the Sydney Stars was fantastic to play on, simply because in the middle of center field, they had a stand of pine trees.
Oh, yeah.
But not just, there was, okay, three pine trees in center field, but in the center of these pine trees was a street sign that had the names of two roads. I don't remember the roads. I've got a picture of it somewhere. But, yeah, there was a street sign in the middle of center field surrounded by three pine trees. I just love that. I love that. The fact that you have to dodge pine trees.
I hate that kind of stuff. Because I will find it. I will find that during play. Nikki, second question. Who is George's favorite vintage baseball player?
Here's a fun fact. Historians believe Valentine's Day actually began in ancient Rome as a pagan fertility festival called Lupercalia, with the celebration dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture, and Roman founders Romulus and Remus. According to History.com, the day was celebrated with activities that included sacrificing animals and whipping women with animal skins until they bled, signifying their fertility.
I will tell you, he answered you first.
Oh, you can't. You
I was going to say me because I know him.
You got to give her partial credit for that.
No, absolutely not, because he's been hinting to you about that for years as well. So, who would you say it is?
Marbles. No.
Good God, no.
Oh, my God. Oh,
wow.
See the look on his face? It looked like somebody...
Yeah, that was hard.
Like somebody played a
no,
game of finger
to be
or
fair,
toe with
he's
him.
He's always talking you up, so... Who is it?
The answer is Dizzy with the Royal Oak Wahoos.
Yeah. Hey, Dizzy.
Douglas Danick.
That's a good kick.
That is a good kick.
You know what? He is one of the best third basemen, not just because of, you know, he's got a... Not because of his talent, but that's part of it, but... Just because of the gentleman that he is. There's nothing that riles that man. There's nothing that makes him get angry on the field. He's just, to me, he's the perfect vintage baseball player. I don't know. So, I love you, Dizzy.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
If he's half the gentleman that you say he is, he's not listening.
Probably not. I'll have to email him.
So, Nikki, what is George's... favorite on-the-field moment?
When a male penguin falls in love with a female, he searches the whole beach to find her the smoothest, most perfect pebble to present her as a proposal. If she approves, she puts the stone in her nest.
When we get to play together... You stop.
There's no prizes here.
No, it looks really bad for us if I can't answer these.
Well, no, because your answer won't be wrong. He's probably had a lot of good memories, but you're just looking for what one he would have put down as the first one.
Our first game together.
Together is, that's not the same thing, is it, George?
No.
It's his very first at bat. Against
my at bat against Chelsea, because I fouled off like 12 pitches in a row to the crowd in along the first baseline. I mean, just baseballs flying right into the crowd 12 times in a row.
And I got to tell you, the first practice I went to with the Marys, that was like the first thing they were telling me. That was their memory point is how many times he was like, and the crowd was senior citizens from the Chelsea retirement community.
You're a right-handed batter.
I am a right-handed batter. And
after the fifth or sixth foul ball down the first baseline, did you think about maybe changing things up a little bit? Or did you really think you were going to hit that line eventually?
I thought I was going down the right field line, but yeah. And my mom was in the crowd too, so I was worried about hitting her.
What is George's, well, it's more of a regret. The event he would most want to attend, but he never did or hasn't yet.
The first heart-shaped box of chocolates was introduced in 1861. It was created by Richard Cadbury, son of the Cadbury founder, John Cadbury, who started packaging chocolates in fancy boxes to increase sales.
Vintage baseball wise, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, playing on Mackinac Island.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Wow. That's actually one of mine as well. Yeah. I started with the Wheels the week after they played there for the last time.
Same. Wow. I started with the Wahoos the same. I think it was because you started in 14, right?
Yeah. Because it was Wheels and Wahoos up there, I think.
And that was one of the things I kept asking Terry about, their Toyful. I was like, hey, is there going to be a Mackinac match this year? And he's like, well, they're talking, but they don't know, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah. And it's been that way for 5 years now.
How unfortunate for you guys. I did play on Mackinac Island.
Well, let's all bow down to
I didn't play well. But you know, the thing about the field on Mackinac Island, left field, once it gets to a certain point, that ball will roll forever. It's a double or a home run. There's no triples on Mackinac Island. So. But it was right next to a nice little bar and grill. Mm. And, so that was cool. I had heard a year ago that they were considering just bringing, because that was a tournament we were in. I heard they were bringing back, like, just maybe like a match a year.
Yeah.
But then it didn't happen. So I'm wrong. Here we go. Nikki, what is George's favorite vintage baseball club to play against?
Worms communicate by snuggling and squirming all over each other.
That's a tough one because he's played with so many and against so many, you know. I'm going to say the Wahoos, though.
Ooh, two in a row.
And I didn't even have to give it a hint.
Very good. The
Wahoos is a great team to play with.
And so the next question is, who's his favorite club to play with?
Think about that one.
The Wahoos?
Yes, it is. Okay. I don't like the way I like the Wahoos.
My first club. I mean, you always have love for your first club, don't you?
Absolutely.
Now you're going to try to list every club that he's ever gotten on the field and played with.
Oh, including subbing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That I could remember.
More than 8 billion conversation hearts are manufactured each year, and Necco has to start making them just days before February 14th to have enough time for the next Valentine's Day.
Okay, so the Wahoos, which is the one with the F? The Falls Bird Flat? No.
Oh.
It was the red...
I know what she's thinking.
She got it right, but she just doesn't know who. Yeah.
You're thinking of Flint.
Is it Flint?
Yeah, okay. The Lumber City.
The Lumber City. Okay. Corn Shuckers, Early Risers. I'm just trying to think of all the teams.
A couple have come up already in this episode.
Yeah.
Monitors?
Yep.
Yeah. That's five. Four left.
I don't even remember this one.
Which one? Oh. Really?
Conversation hearts got their start as medical lozenges.
Frankenmuth?
Yep.
Where was that?
Oh, at the festival.
That was the first game Saturday morning.
Yeah. That's okay, right.
So I kind of remember it.
You were drunk already?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Dexter?
First game Saturday morning. Was this 2 years ago? Was this last year?
Last year at the festival. No.
Was
it only had one?
My first
There's
game.
Been two.
Yeah. Oh, it was the first. Yes, yeah, so it was the first year because she wasn't there. She went to a modern day baseball tournament that my cousin would
remember.
Do you
remember who we played?
I believe we played against the Wahoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay, Nikki, three more.
Yeah,
we're gonna let George start giving you hints.
Okay.
If I can remember which three, well, not the rack. Maybe she could, not the risers, but the...
Oh, the Franklins.
What's the difference?
What's the difference between the Franklins and the risers? Okay, this was actually taken care of before last season. They had a meeting. Officially, the Franklins are their own club now.
Okay.
And they have... Pickles has earned his spot as the team's captain.
Okay.
So anybody that wants to schedule the Franklins, feel free and contact either Hatchet or Pickles. So he is officially, you know, their captain, and they've got, you know, their own scheduling to do and their own everything. They're their own club now. If risers want to play for the Franklins, it used to be when it first started, I don't know if it still is, that the risers were... you know, air quotes, required to choose a different nickname to play as a Franklin. But other than that, yeah, just if you want to show up and play as Franklin, you play as a Franklin.
Gotcha.
Do you remember what your nickname was the day you played as a Franklin?
I've actually used two different ones. I went with Bender, because I'm part Italian, so Spaghetti Bender. I know it's, you know, a bit racist, but whatever. So I went with that, and then I also went with Bubble.
Okay.
So,
what was your question?
I was just going to say, like, the Franklins and Risers are comprised mainly of the same players, correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
A couple
it's,
here and there.
The way it happens a lot of times is that if a club that exists wants to start a secondary team, then that secondary team is mostly comprised of the original players, but they'll start recruiting, for lack of a better word, other people to come in. It's gotten to the point where I think, and I don't, because I didn't get to attend the final meeting with the risers, because I let them know that I wasn't going to be playing next season. So, so the last I would know of this situation is that they've got enough, or they've got a team of Franklins right now, where, you know, they don't have to completely rely on risers to fill out the roster. So if anyone is looking to join a team, I think the Franklins would be a good choice. They're, you know, good group of guys.
Do they have a home field out of historic Fort Wayne, as far as you know, or do they play somewhere else, or just a travel
again,
club?
Again, as far as I know, they're just a travel club.
Gotcha.
They will meet you anywhere you want to play. I don't see that they would be opposed to playing at the Fort if the conditions were right, but that's something you'd have to talk with Pickles about.
Gotcha. Good to know.
Yep.
All right, so that's going to conclude the vintage baseball part of this episode. We're going to get into you guys on a more personal level, and place I always like to start is with Netflix and all streaming video platforms, and you're a married couple, so this is definitely happening for you too.
Uh-oh.
Am I right?
Oh, the Netflix and chill?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mostly chill these days.
Mostly what? I don't know what you're talking about. I've been married a while.
Right. You turn on Netflix and you chill to the point where you fall asleep. Right? That's what you're...
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We often try to just make it through an episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're involved in a lot of things, and we sit down and say, hey, you want to try to get an episode of that in before I go to bed? And she'll say... only if you're going to finish the episode. And so sometimes that doesn't happen.
Sounds familiar.
Yes, that's very familiar.
Because I'm old. So what are you guys watching on Netflix right now?
As a couple,
have we watched?
Do you watch more series or more movies?
Netflix is more movies for us. Our series are more just cable based or Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Did you get the bundle? Oh, this is actually, you got to bundle it. Did you get the bundle?
We do not have a bundle of.
So you're losing money because what you do is you have to cancel.
Everything.
It's a good choice to not get the bundle.
Then you get ESPN Plus. You gotta bundle it.
You don't need the bundle.
The bundle's necessary, Mike.
Well, is this where we're supposed to leave? And
I'm not sure what's going on right now.
You guys watched The Mandalorian.
Of course.
And finished it off.
Mm-hmm.
And your review.
I liked it. I'm not a good review person.
I did like it. I like that they... A lot of people have complained that the last episode was not that great, that it was, you know, just kind of blah. To me, I liked it because it set up a firm direction for season two, which has already been confirmed by Jon Favreau. So, I'm no spoilers, so I'm just going to say that there's a definite direction for season two of it, so I'm happy.
If you know Jon Favreau's name and pronounce it correctly, you must be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The Mike Marvel Cinematic Universe? No.
There is no Mike Marvel Universe.
Yes, that one would be kind of creepy to watch.
Yes. So you guys watch all the Marvel films together?
Sometimes twice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what did you think of Endgame?
It was good. I cried. I'm
at the obvious spot.
At the obvious
spot. There was probably
yes.
more than one spot you cried at.
No, not for me. Okay. movies on TV, I enjoy watching, but I don't get super involved.
So the story's got to be really good to get you.
Yes.
Okay, George.
Again, Endgame. Yes, very good. And I. I liked that they did leave enough Easter eggs to move forward. Obviously, the new direction for the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, what are they calling it, Phase 4 with the Eternals coming up. So that'll be an interesting transition to a new dynamic within the MCU.
I see Brie Larson refused to sign on for the Avengers 5, unless she gets paid the same as the men.
Wow.
So good for her.
I can't believe we're in 2020 and female leads are not getting paid the same as men. It is so ridiculous. It is.
The glass ceiling covers everything. So when that gets shattered, will be a good day.
So, do you guys watch like documentaries on Netflix at all? Any of those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We go to sleep every night to Forensic Files.
HLN Network.
And also...
do you sit there and lay in bed talking about the last... what just happened and how you figured it out? Like, you're like, oh, I know what happened. Or
at this point, it's mostly, oh, I've seen this one before.
Yeah.
But, yeah. yeah, we do love documentaries. I do, at least.
If you love those crime documentary things, they have this... this thing I've seen on the Facebooks. It's a thing for couples where you hunt a killer.
You've done it.
Yes. Talk about that.
A friend of ours named Veronica. Hi, Veronica. She actually ordered the first box for, I think it was your birthday, wasn't it? To give to her for her birthday. And then there are 5 subsequent boxes and it took us a while to coordinate everybody to get together to do it, but we eventually hunted that killer.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So you get clues. Is it kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of setup, or like
I couldn't answer that because I don't know Dungeons and Dragons.
You follow one clue and it's there's nothing there. You got to backtrack or
with Dungeons and Dragons, there's a dungeon master. This was not. There's nobody in charge really. It's just everybody. You open up the box. And you get a letter from a private detective that has been asked by the sheriff to help with this case. And she
tells you all of the evidence that she's collected, and then within the box there are envelopes full of crime reports and autopsy reports.
Some
and
evidence as well.
Some actual physical evidence.
Are these real cases that they're basing this off? No,
it's a fictional town, but it's just fun because each box you're supposed to, because you go online as well, and you've got access to, again, air quotes, the computer of the private detective, so you have access to all of her notes and the types of music that she listens to and things like that. And it's, you just, every box that you get, you eliminate one suspect. And eventually you get down to the last box and you have to pick a murderer.
You're paying per box. That's how they get you, right? Because you're eliminating a suspect per box, so you've got to get another box. Yeah. That's kind of how they get you.
Again, our friend
ordered
them.
It was her gig, so we actually didn't pay anything.
You're a good egg.
Yes.
And our kids actually got us for Christmas two mystery, similar things,
murder mystery role playing games.
So, do you watch documentaries like "Don't F with Cats"? Did you watch like
that? We actually saw that one last night at it was on Netflix, right?
Right. We saw the ad for it, but we didn't actually watch it.
Mm-mm.
It screwed up. One of my favorite parts of the post production part of this podcast that we do is whenever you curse, Rudy Frias comes in with a voiceover of an 1860s curse word. So when this episode is released, I'm going to say, watch, don't
engage
with cats. But that's not what you're going to hear. And I love the words that he comes up with to cover up the curses. That's good stuff. Go to work, Rudy. So what else do you guys do, not vintage baseball-wise as a couple, outside of the home? Where do you go and do stuff?
Last night, we love to go out to dinner. We love to golf, anything to do outside.
We're on a bowling team together, bowling league every other Saturday.
I guess that would be indoors.
That would be indoors. Outdoors.
Well, but it counts.
Yeah. We like to host parties with our friends and whatnot. When they show up. our home is we just got it a year and a half ago and we've been renovating it. We finished the basement, so it seems like our basement has become the party spot. We got the dart board and poker table and all the good fun activities.
I think thanks to social media, I know that Nikki takes a lot of naps on the couch with the dog. Is this correct?
I like my naps. I need my naps. Let's put it that way. I need a lot of sleep.
You guys seem like you would be a couple that would like the escape rooms. Do you do those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've done quite a few of those.
And down in this area, there's probably a ton of those places.
Yeah.
There's a couple in Ann Arbor. We've done one in Columbus, Ohio. We did one in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, the first one we ever did was in Columbus, and that was probably my favorite one because they actually, a lot of escape rooms, they just stick you in the room and then you've got to try and find your way out.
Right.
This one was, they put you in the room and it was called Patient Zero, so it was a zombie thing. They actually had a girl sitting, laying on a table that was the zombie with a doctor in the room, and if you got too close to the zombie, they had her chained up. They had her like a chain around her wrist that was attached to the wall. And every couple of minutes, the chain would shorten so she'd get... Or no, she was
lengthen.
Against the wall. That's what it was. It started with her against the wall. So every couple of minutes, the chain would let itself out so she could get further into the room. If she touched you, then you had to be... You were infected. You had to be chained to the wall, and you couldn't search for clues. You could help by saying you need to do this, this, or this, but you couldn't search for clues.
Gosh.
Eventually,
that sounds awesome.
And you got to ahead of time buy guns, like Nerf guns, use and put her out for a minute so you could go search wherever she was.
Yeah, you could purchase weapons that had or ammunition so that you shoot the zombie and she's down for a minute and then she'd get back up and she'd whatever.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That is awesome.
And there was one somebody found a clue on a clipboard that had a list of music and it had like some indication that she either liked the music or didn't.
So if you started singing the songs that she liked, she would just kind of like go into a trance and wouldn't attack anymore as long as you were singing that music.
So that's what some of us were designated to do, is just sing those songs.
Yeah. So she would very interactive.
Definitely sounds like the most detailed escape room.
That sounds elaborate.
There are escape rooms in Frankenmuth. I think there's like four of them. I've never done any of those. I've done quite a few in Saginaw, but nothing like that experience. That's crazy.
Yeah.
There was... There's one in Saginaw that's Saw-themed, but they can't say it's Saw, the horror movie.
Right.
But that one's kind of crazy. But not like that. I mean, Columbus, Ohio. I'm coming down to Columbus for the Ohio Cup.
Yeah, and then, there.
And that's when we went, was after the Ohio Cup.
And then a month later, going back down there for the NAVB championship. I have to do that.
As a matter of fact, on a little bit of a side note, the reason we went to that escape room is because we were visiting my buddy Russ that you met at the Ohio Cup.
Okay.
Remember?
Yes.
Big guy Russ.
Yes.
Yeah, we were visiting, hanging with him. He was the best man at our wedding as well.
Okay.
And him and his wife at the time had taken us to this escape room as something to awesome. Do to hang out with. So, yeah.
Cool stuff.
So, Nikki, how many games on your schedule this year? Did you say three?
This year I haven't gotten the schedule yet.
Oh, you haven't gotten the schedule yet. So, well, you got two at the festival with Frankenmuth. And then, George, if you had it your way, how many games would you be playing a year right now at this point?
This year, normally I would say, once a weekend at least. But I think I'm kind of looking forward to taking a bit of a step back and not being so committed every single weekend to something. So maybe two a month would be nice. Would give me the fix that I need without stressing us too much. And, we got a lot of stuff going on that we want to get taken care of around the house and things like that that could use our attention. So
you have more of a summer this year, probably.
Hopefully.
Okay, well, I want to thank you guys for coming in and doing this. Perfect couple to have on Valentine's Day release of the podcast. Look for them at the Frankenmuth Festival as George is playing with...
Everybody! Anybody that'll have me, how about that?
And Nikki will be there playing against Frankenmuth, and she could probably catch on with any guys team there to play.
I'd love to.
She played with the Columbus Blues one.
Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
Blues.
I'm sorry.
You're both wrong. Yeah.
She played with the Columbus Blues one summer, one day at the fort, and they absolutely loved her. They loved her athleticism and. Well, no, I'm serious. They enjoyed having her as a
player. Oh, God, you're embarrassing her. All right, guys, thanks again for coming in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks
for
asking
us. Thank you
for
having us.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
End of the episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're such a wonderful crowd.
That didn't hurt.
We'd like to play a little tune for you. It's one of my personal favorites.
As she chugs the last of
our I'd like to dedicate it to a young man who doesn't think he's seen anything good today. Cameron Fry, this one's for you. Dutch treat, you were sweet, Dr. Shane.